the fossils that we found of Titanoboa are mostly, if you think of a snake, they're mostly back parts of the backbone. Really, a whole snake. A snake is mostly made up of bones of the backbone. If you think of the bones that compose the body. So really, we have a bunch of vertebrae and ribs of a snake that would have been around 13 meters long, with a mass of one and a quarter tons. And the snake itself would have, in terms of thinking about how long that would have been, it would have been about the size of a school bus in length. Or another way to think about it is, if you're familiar with the very large specimens of Tyrannosaurus rex that have been described in the past, for example, Sioux at the Field Museum, it's about the length of a Tyrannosaurus rex.
I mean, this is the stuff of Hollywood horror movies, isn't it?
Yeah, so the only way to really imagine sort of the interface between humans and snakes of this size, really you have to go to Hollywood and into the make-believe. But what's incredibly interesting is that, in fact, the Hollywood directors didn't even get it as big as this. So if you look at the Anaconda movie, for example, the anaconda depicted in that movie was not as large as the one that we described.
What would this creature have eaten?
We think that Titanoboa would have eaten probably a diet of fish, large fish, and then probably a healthy diet of crocodiles as well.
What does it tell us about what the environment in what's now Colombia would have been like 60 million years ago?
We believe that in order for a snake of this size to live, it would have had to have been very warm back then, so warmer than today. So the climate itself would have been 30 to 34 degrees Celsius, which is very hot, and that would explain why the snake got so big. But in terms of the environment that it lived in, it would have lived in a riverine type of system very close to the ocean. And we know that based on the rocks that it's preserved in. And we also know that in part based on the habits of the other types of animals that we find in those same rocks. So we find fish that are related to bonefish and tarpon today. We also find a very aquatic type of freshwater turtles, and also these extinct group of crocodiles that all would have lived in these large riverine systems. If you look at modern anacondas today, they spend a lot of time in the water. So we think Titanoboa would also have spent a lot of time in the water. We also have many plant fossils from the Cerrejón coal mine that tell us quite a bit about the forest that these animals would have lived in. It's a remarkable forest. It's the oldest rainforest that we know of, and it tells us quite a bit about sort of the initial stages of the evolution of the Amazonian type of ecosystem.
It must have been tremendously exciting for you and your colleagues to make this discovery.
It was very exciting. The initial excitement came from the fact that we could collect fossils at all in the tropics of South America, because the tropics are completely covered with forests. That's one of the reasons people love the tropics, is because they're so lush and green. But the problem as a paleontologist is that it's very hard to find fossils in a place where no rocks are exposed. So Carlos Jaramillo at the Smithsonian Tropical Research Institute, who's an author on the paper, and colleagues, were collecting plants, so plant fossils and also pollen fossils there in this mine, and then saw a potential for bringing other paleontologists in to look for other kinds of fossils, including vertebrates. So that's when Carlos contacted me in 2004, and we went down there and started collecting vertebrates. We hadn't expected to find a giant snake, for sure. And in fact, we were finding many new species of turtles and crocodiles. It wasn't until we got fossils back to the Florida Museum of Natural History, maybe in 2007, that we realized some of the things that we had collected were the fossils of a giant snake.